Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning! Top of the morning to you on this Mother's Day weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, not just day, but Mother's Day weekend. That's right. Mother's Day tomorrow. All of you listening going, oh, got to get a card, got to send flowers.
All of you male beasts out there. Rein in the beastliness for this weekend.
Call your mom.
And be sweet and kind to the woman in your life.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. My brother is 11 years older than I, and I am still playing. And it's like every year I'm like, I'm not enabling. No, it's about my mom. So I'll call him and remind him, it's her birthday tomorrow or it's Mother's Day. Does it ever, I mean, will I be doing that until he's, you know,
my
60,
oldest daughter
70?
Is the social secretary for the family.
Okay.
She sends out emails to everybody about everybody's
and
birthdays.
And lets them know, okay, it's almost time, so we'll continue.
That's interesting, because I've never had to remind my brother. He's on top of it. His gift arrived yesterday from mom.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. So happy Mother's Day, happy Grandma's Day, even great-grandma's day out there to all those great-grandmas out there.
My mother died 2 years ago. Last month, April 21st.
Oh.
So that weekend, we went over to her grave and took flowers and stuff.
Right.
Ivory, my little 10-year-old, is a bit irreverent about death. She noticed that there are mushrooms growing on the grave. She said, oh, Grandma's gardening again.
Aww. Look at that. Oh, I didn't think of that.
The world through a child's eyes, right?
Yes, love that. Love that. Well, speaking of children, one of the things in the news this week has been with kids, and I think, you know, what we like to do at the top of the hour is just kind of talk about medical things, making news, and children and COVID in the news this week. So maybe let's talk about what's really going on
with the kids. Yeah, there is a new medical concern with children. Worldwide, there have been 200 children that have had serious liver inflammation and failure. A small number of kids have actually had to have liver transplants. I think five or so have died out of the population, probably in countries that don't do liver transplants very well or that didn't have people of matched donors available. One state, I'm trying to remember, it's either Alabama or Arkansas. It's one of the southern states, and I forget which one now, had 9 cases.
Oh, wow.
There's only 200 cases in the world, and this state had 9 children.
Wow, okay.
Interestingly, none of the 9 had been vaccinated.
Okay, so this is not COVID-related.
It's certainly not vaccine-related.
Vaccine-related at all. Okay.
None of the 9 kids had the vaccine.
Okay.
Half the kids, as we're running viral studies all over the country and the world, about 50% of the children have an adenovirus, which is a virus that's normally a respiratory virus. It usually causes earaches, sore throats, stuffy noses, you know, the common cold sort of symptoms. But the other half were also negative for the virus, or for that virus.
Wow. Okay.
So we don't know. You know, is there something about the adenovirus that predisposes the child to whatever the other factor is? That is plausible. But we just don't know, because we don't know what the other factor is. We don't know why. This is not the normal hepatitis A and B virus. You know, the kids are all being tested for the common hepatitis viruses. The incidence in them is the same in the general population. It's not, you know, not a biggie. So yeah, we don't know. Hmm. We know it's not caused by the vaccine, so everybody can relax about that.
There you go.
I do have some questions about cardiac issues and the vaccine, but that's a whole different question.
What were some of the symptoms these children were dealing with? Were anything common with all 200?
Fatigue is almost always with hepatitis, with liver failure. The number one symptom is just getting tired, groggy. They want to sleep more. They have no energy. Some of them are getting muscle aches. Mm. A late finding is the eyes, the white of the eyes starts to turn yellow. The
jaundice,
skin gets a yellowish cast. The urine gets dark orange. But that's fairly late. That's when kids are in overt liver failure and the bilirubin levels are rising rapidly.
Right.
So that's not early.
Right. Early symptoms, as you said, is fatigue, loss of appetite, vomiting, diarrhea. But you also mentioned something very important, is that these children are generally otherwise very healthy kids.
Yes.
Okay.
They're active, healthy kids. They just have not identified any real predisposing risk factors for these kids yet. We just don't know why.
Yeah.
So, okay. And, you know, we probably, with only 200 cases in the world.
Yeah, and only a few of those in the United States.
We'd have probably missed this.
Yes.
Except everybody is hypervigilant about the kids because of COVID and the vaccines.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And so we're watching the kids more closely, so we're picking this up.
Ah, okay.
When in other years, 200 kids on planet Earth would probably have gone unnoticed.
Unnoticed, yeah.
Very true. Very
okay.
True.
Okay. So if you're hearing this and freaking out about the news, that's the information. We like to give you the facts here, not the rumors. We do not like to fearmonger, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would like to lay a rumor to rest.
Yes.
The CEO of Pfizer has not been arrested for fraud.
Yes. That was another one. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. A friend sent me that, a link to that article claiming that, the CEO of Pfizer had been arrested for fraud, for hiding data, and, you know, being the FBI had broken into his house, yada, yada, yada. Not true. FBI doesn't seem to have any cases open on him, and he's at work and doing just fine. And,
there you go.
You know, so.
It's interesting what social media posts.
Oh, no, this is
something true. Really funny that I came across recently, a friend sent it to me, was this girl's talking to her friend on the phone, and she goes, you know, Wanda, I think I'm losing my mind. I think I left my phone at the store that I came from. And and she's looking through her bag, and she's looking for the phone while she's talking on the phone. And then her friend says, oh, are you sure you left it in the store? She says, yeah, I can't seem to find it anywhere. And the friend says, okay, well, then I'll hang up. You call me when you find it.
Her friend figured it out. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not losing your mind. It's just, I'll text somebody.
I
text you, Dr. Umat or Dr. I'll text you, and then I'll put the phone up to my ear.
Yeah.
Well, for your response.
It's like when you have your glasses on and you're looking everywhere for your glasses.
Where are they? You know,
with me, it's my wallet.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. You lose your wallet?
If I put it in a different pocket. Oh. I normally carry my wallet in my right front pocket. And once in a while, for some unknown reason, I slip it into my back pocket.
Now, I don't see you wearing pockets, so it must be in your back pocket today.
No, it's right here in my front
you
right
got it.
Pocket.
Okay.
But, yeah, and it happened the other day. I was getting ready to go to work, and I said, where's my wallet? I need my wallet. And I'm looking high, and I go to all of my coats. I leave it in my coat pocket. Did I leave it in the bathroom? Did it drop on the floor? No, it's in my back pocket.
That's right there. Oh, boy. Okay.
But the phone. Watch for the phone, okay?
There we go. Oh, boy. Hey, we're going to take your calls in just a moment. Feel free to call right now. We would love to have you call in with your questions about medical news, maybe COVID, maybe something a loved one is dealing with, maybe a diagnosis that you've recently gotten. Dr. Samira Umat here to take your questions. Also, Dr. Jerry Mixon here. We'll talk women's health, men's health, specializing in aging, since we are brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. So here is the number to get through. Phone lines are available right now. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Okay, so Dr. Mixon, another thing that we usually talk about at the beginning of the show, we haven't really touched on, COVID. Are the rates, are the numbers. COVID numbers really rising?
They're rising.
Okay.
They're rising. You know, Washington State was 12 a couple of weeks ago. We're now 32.
So okay.
We have gone up a lot. You know, last week we were in the 20s. This week we're in the low 30s. The national number is 20. So we're 50% above the national number in infection rates.
Oh, above average Washington.
Above average always. Washington. Yes, we are sicker than usual. Six, six, six. But then again, we have an awful lot of woke sick folks around here.
There we go.
Florida is, I think, 12 right now. Mm-hmm. So they're about half of us. Or a third of us, half of the national. Hmm. So, you know, but the lowest states are Wyoming, Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi for some reason, the southern warm states. But then all of a sudden, Wyoming, which is still pretty chilly, jumped in there. And all those states are like five.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So your vacation destinations, yeah, the low states.
They're one fourth
COVID
of the
vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, nobody is shutting down except some schools.
Okay. Oh, they are
some,
again?
Some schools are putting kids back in masks, which is just stupid.
Mm.
Because the kids have the lowest risk of anybody on planet Earth, for goodness sakes. Yeah. So why you want to mask up the people least likely to get sick?
Mm.
It just makes no sense at all. But, oh well. What else is there? I guess the biggest COVID effect has been depression. Suicide rate is way up in America. Adolescent suicide rate is more than double, especially girls. Girls are killing themselves at a much higher rate than they did before the social isolation.
Mm.
Unfortunately, children, teenagers, a large percentage of them are still wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
They're still isolating themselves from the world. And they are depressed, and their suicide rate is going up. So that concerns me. You know, I walk down the trail, and I see a teenager wearing a mask, and I just want to walk over and rip it off. Say, come on, kid. You know, show us your face, get out, socialize, make connections with other human beings.
Yeah.
Because
so
it's the lack of human connection, the isolation, that's triggering most of this depression.
Yeah. And it's so rampant. I mean, we saw nationally, after our show last week, we had found out that Naomi Judd, beautiful Naomi Judd of the country western group, the Judds, getting ready to go on tour, was just indicted into the hall. Inducted? I sometimes get that. And
indicted?
You're thinking,
she
of
was not indicted.
You're thinking of the politicians.
Yes. No, she was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Died of suicide the day before, and they were saying she had dealt with mental illness and depression.
Yeah.
And we had two high schoolers just in our community this past week.
Yeah.
Again, the young that took their lives. And it's so scary.
Yeah. And this is the fallout from the shutdowns.
The social isolation.
Closing the schools, putting everybody in masks has resulted in a significant increase in non-COVID deaths throughout this country. More people have died of cancer. More people have died of heart disease. More people have died of suicide because of the shutdowns. And guess which states have had the least increase in suicides, the least increase in cardiac deaths, the least increases in cancer deaths?
Would those be states that didn't have
Florida and
lockdowns
Texas.
And masks? Oh, wow.
The ones that locked down
Wow.
For 2 weeks to bend the curve and then opened up, they're the ones whose kids are not killing themselves.
Wow. Something else we need to look at as a country, huh? And as a world. Hey, this is Leading Edge Medicine. We will be back with your phone calls in just a moment. 888-312-5757. You stay close.
I would like to thank you for having this program and for having your longevity program. If I listen on the radio, I always learn something, and it keeps me on the straight and narrow. I think, boy, I need to take some more responsibility for myself.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over.
Oh, this is so fun. We should just play this one every time.
I love this one.
Cute. So fun. Oh, welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine, Saturday morning of Mother's Day weekend. Just want to make sure you know that. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We've got some callers. We're going to jump right in. Here is the phone number for you to get through. 888-312-5757. We are going to talk to Bob and start our day off with Bob from Bellevue. Good morning, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning to you guys. Hey, first, thanks for your plug for 2,000 mules. Hopefully that gets widespread enough that it actually people begin to believe it.
Well,
why are we getting more COVID here? Look out the window. It's not spring. It's fall going into winter. The administration has screwed up everything else, and they've screwed up the seasons.
Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute. You know, my concern is that if this global warming continues, we're all going to freeze to death in Washington State. I don't see any warming. Yeah. This has been the coldest spring we have had in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even the flowers don't know. Should I bloom? Should I not bloom?
It's the longest spring ski season Crystal Mountain's ever had.
Wow. Yes. All the way to the 31st.
Through the end of the month.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I think just for fun, they should go until like June 1st or 2nd, just to, you know, take it into June and say, we still got skiing.
All right.
Yeah, so me. A couple weeks ago, you threw out a comment that people with taking testosterone and Cialis had 80-some% less chance of heart attack, I think was the comment. Would you elaborate on that?
Well, of dying of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dying of a heart attack.
Yeah. It turns out that testosterone is about as effective as the statins at decreasing the risk of second heart attacks, which is kind of fascinating. The PDE5 inhibitors like the Cialis are equally potent at protecting against heart attacks. And when you used all three, you used a statin and testosterone and a PDE5 inhibitor, you reduce the risk of dying from a heart attack by 80% in men. So it was all three.
Are there levels of those that you need to get to?
Well,
in other words, how much Cialis testosterone?
In the study, it was 5 milligrams of Cialis a day. Okay. I don't recall, it was testosterone supplementation, but I don't recall that they gave the specific blood levels.
I don't think they did. It was just replacement. And then statins. And they looked at statins alone. They looked at testosterone alone, and they looked at Cialis with testosterone and then with statin.
Yeah. And the best combination was all of the above. I pulled it down from...
It was an observational study presented at the age management group that you went to a few years ago, and Dr. Shippen presented the study.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember where it was published, though. I'd have to go back into my file.
Yeah.
I've got it.
Yeah. You gave us the slide presentation, so I know that all of our doctors have seen it.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think I'd find it on Cochrane Collaboration?
I don't know about Cochrane. If you go to PubMed and and enter testosterone
and heart disease,
or testosterone and PDE5 inhibitors and heart disease, you'll probably probably drop it down. If I recall, it was an open access article, so you didn't have to pay for the article. They would actually, you could publish it anywhere you wanted as long as you attribute it to the researchers. So they wanted the credit, but, you know, unlike some where they got to buy one copy cost you $75 or something.
Or more.
Or more. But most papers are about $75 a paper. But this one, if I recall correctly, was open access. So you could just, all you had to do was give credit to the people that did the study.
Yeah, you sat in that presentation, though.
Yeah, I sat in the presentation when he presented it.
Yeah. So. Are you familiar with a book called The Clot Thickens by Dr. Malcolm Kendrick, where he debunks the cholesterol causes plaque issue?
No, I'm not familiar with that particular one, but I'm very familiar with the cascade in which, you know, cholesterol is involved. There's lots of studies that show that one of the ways of lowering your risk of heart attacks is to lower your LDL cholesterol. But LDL cholesterol in and of itself is not the culprit. Okay. The underlying culprit is the inflammation, and the inflammation can be triggered by any number of things, high sugars, high insulins, lots of free radicals in your system. Anything that triggers inflammation within the system damages LDL cholesterol. Once the LDL cholesterol is damaged, your body perceives it as a foreign material and tries to get rid of it. And so you send out phagocytes. These are a type of white blood cell that gobble up the damaged LDL, carry it to the arterial wall, and sequester it. I love the fact that politicians have finally learned a medical term, sequester.
Sequester.
They basically deposit it underneath the endometrium, underneath the lining of the artery, along the muscularis, along the muscular wall of the artery. And over time, if you have enough damaged LDL, you get a large deposit of this stuff, and it's basically, it's like pus that has been stuck out of the way under this endometrium. If that inflammatory plaque now ruptures, it releases a big bolus of fibrin and pus into the arteria, or the lumen of the artery, triggers a clot, and that's what triggers the heart attack. So it's, you know, one way to lower the risk of heart attacks is to have less LDL, but an equally effective way is have less inflammation.
Yeah.
Because the LDL itself is actually beneficial. It is, in fact, cholesterol is the mother hormone.
Mm-hmm.
All of your cortisol, all of your testosterone, all of your estrogen, all of your progesterone, all of your pregnenolone, all of your dehydroepiandrosterone, all of these steroid hormones are made out of cholesterol.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough cholesterol, you get sick and die.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the theories is that as you get older, the hormones decrease, so the body increases cholesterol production in an effort to increase the hormone production.
Right. As your testosterone and estrogen and pregnenolone and DHEA and so on are declining, your body knows you need those things. Now, you can't make it because your testicles are getting old and your adrenals are getting old. And, you know, so all of the glands that make these hormones are aging, becoming less effective. But your body says, wait a minute, I need these hormones. I want these hormones. So it ratchets up your cholesterol production. And the idea being, if you have more cholesterol, maybe you'll make more hormones.
Yeah.
Well, you don't, because the organs that turn the cholesterol into the end products are getting old and frail. So the cholesterol just piles up and piles up and piles up. When there's a lot of it there, and due to your rising blood sugar, your rising insulin, your poor diet, your free radicals, and so on, now you're damaging a lot of that excess LDL that you're making as a result of having low hormones. What we're finding is that when we give people back the hormone levels of a young man or woman, it becomes very easy to lower their cholesterol.
Yeah. And then just to expand on what Dr. Mixon said, we actually do measure the damaged LDL there. It's called oxidized LDL, and we do measure it because not all LDL is bad. We have to know the amount, the particle sizes, the individual sizes, and we do measure all of that. And with that, we measure your C-reactive protein to let us know if there's inflammation. And then specifically for the lining of the blood vessel, the intimal thickening, we measure myeloperoxidase activity and PLA2 activity, which tells us whether the plaque is imminent to rupture or not. So there's lots of things we do, and it's called risk stratification. So anytime we see a high LDL, we actually do then take it several steps forward to know what to do for this patient. It's not all the same.
Yep. So, yeah, it's not just LDL.
I've just started. This guy's a cardiologist from England, I believe, and I've just started his book. But his basic premise is it's not the LDL. I think he's going where you are with the inflammation that's causing it. But he said if you look into the plaques, you won't find any LDL. You won't find cholesterol. The fibrous tissues and the other things you mentioned are there, and the plaque was caused by inflammation, but it's not the cholesterol, and it makes the point that we need the cholesterol.
Yeah.
I haven't got that, I'm only partway through the book, but making a very interesting case that maybe we're chasing after the wrong thing in some cases.
Okay, well, thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you for calling, Bob. All right, we'll take a quick break. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be back with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in just a moment. Stay right there.
The thing I like the most about everything that I've learned from Dr. Mixon is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense. It's not something I really have to wonder, well, I wonder if that's really true. It just, this whole encompassing approach, it always makes a lot of sense to me, and that's really what sold me on the whole package.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me.
Oh, lonesome me.
Oh, poor baby.
Oh.
Take off your mask and find somebody to hug.
There you go. Yes. Well, welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. We're here every Saturday morning at the same time, and we love taking your calls. We're live in the studio. Our number to get through today and talk to Dr. Samira Umat or Dr. Jerry Mixon. Here's the number, 888-312-5757. That number again is 888-312-5757. We are going to stay right in the Kirkland area and talk to Rick. Rick is on the line. Hi there, Rick.
Hi. I have a 62-year-old brother who 8 months ago had a large kidney stone surgically removed. And the last couple months, he hasn't been feeling well, fatigued, etc. And so he had some testing done. And they've discovered that he's had significant kidney damage over the last 8 months. They can't come up with any clear reason for it. They've ruled out cancer, but they're telling him he'll probably have to be on dialysis sometime soon, depending upon how he responds to medication to help his kidneys. And so I'm wondering if this was your brother. Any ideas on how to help his situation?
Boy.
Wow, that's a toughie.
Mm. Yeah. How to help it depends on what's causing it.
That's right.
Step one, diagnosis.
Yeah,
because if you don't know what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are very poor. So step one's got to be diagnosis.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they've checked all the common stuff. Now it's time to get in somebody who's a really, really aggressive academic nephrologist to start looking at the rarer things. I mean, obviously, something systemic, okay? This is not caused by the kidney stone because it's both mm-hmm. kidneys. He had a stone in one kidney, but the other kidney is sick. So mm-hmm. whatever is going on is a systemic problem.
Yeah, and the common systemic problems for renal disease are diabetes, high blood pressure. Does he have any of those?
Vasculitis.
We've had
sorts.
Autoimmune issues today all day long. Mm-hmm. Some inflammation.
I think he's pre-diabetic. I believe he's pre-diabetic. I don't think he is, but he is overweight, and that so he's got some exposure to the diabetes.
Yeah. Although kidney failure before overt diabetes is pretty rare.
Yeah.
People that are heading towards diabetes are usually getting some decline in kidney function, but it's mild.
But if he's mm-hmm. overweight, is he hypertensive? Does he have high blood pressure?
I think his blood pressure is a little high. I don't think it's excessive, but yeah, I do think okay. he has some high blood pressure.
All right. But once more, that's a question of, is it the high blood pressure damaging the kidneys or the kidney dysfunctions causing the high blood pressure? Because that's also an issue. So, yeah.
He lives in Grants Pass, and he's had a nephrologist. They've did a biopsy and so on. Are you suggesting that maybe somebody who's more... I think you said an aggressive academic nephrologist.
Yes, that's right.
We should be looking outside of the Grants Pass area.
I would, yeah. No disrespect to the Grants Pass docs, but the average doctor in every area is by definition average, right?
Yeah.
Every field has got its geniuses, its journeymen, and its incompetents. We try to avoid mm-hmm. the incompetents. The journeymen are perfectly adequate for the vast majority of our care. But when you've got a really tough problem, you want that savant. You want that person that everybody else stands in awe and says, how do they do it? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like if the people caring for him don't know the cause,
yeah,
it's time to go looking for the savant.
Yeah. I mean, interstitial renal disease from any cause, a glomerulonephritis, something has probably happened
yes.
that has caused the dialysis, and the kidney stone was a red flag. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're lucky you found it, because otherwise you may not have
warned you about the other problems. Yeah. We clearly, this is not my field.
Yeah.
It's not Dr. Umat's field, You want to know about the stuff that normally happens to you as you're getting older? Come see us. We're pretty darn good about that. Fact is, with all due modesty, I'm generally recognized as pretty darn accomplished in this field. But not in strange and wondrous, odd kidney diseases. This is not something I can give you a lot of guidance except to say you need to start looking at academic institutions, find somebody that will take an interest in the case and chase it down. The wondrous thing about academic institutions is research is their livelihood. It's what they do. And they're in contact with the other research people all over the planet. Mm-hmm. And if they've got a really interesting case, they kind of put the word out.
Yeah.
And you get commentary and suggestions from a wide variety of very knowledgeable, very talented people. And that's the advantage the academic guy has over most of the community people.
And
makes sense.
If you were in Grants Pass, where would you be heading if you're in Grants Pass to try to find that?
Grants Pass, you're kind of equidistant between San Francisco and Portland. And so I'd probably be heading for University of Oregon just because I have a bias against San Francisco. Who the hell would want to go to that hellhole?
Oh, stop.
I mean, if you're really fond of poop in the streets, that's, you know, that's head on down and enjoy yourself. But
come on.
Of course,
head for Eugene is your suggestion.
Well, or Portland, yeah.
Portland's not much better than San Francisco.
No, well, it's not. But
no, yeah. I mean, I would say look up the names of the physicians over there. Yeah. Use them as a guide.
Yeah. You know, what you want to do is look at the Department of Nephrology at the Oregon Health Sciences Center and make some phone calls, explain what's going on, and see if you find somebody that has a real interest in helping you solve the problem.
Yeah.
Great advice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. Take care.
Good luck.
Thank you, Rick. Bye. All right. We're going to head back over to Seattle. We have a caller there waiting for us. Good morning, Timothy.
Hello?
Hi there. Hello? Timothy. How can we help you? This is Leading Edge Medicine.
I was wondering, my wife's really quickly scrambling to get to the other radio in the room. So is it hereditary to get cold? I mean, like my grandfather, I remember he was wearing long underwear in Minnesota in the summertime. And I know my dad had, they wanted to move to Arizona and did because it was so cold for him, was one of the reasons, up in Minnesota. And now living out here with this extended winter, I'm starting to feel cold. Like, I can't believe it just don't warm up. Is there something a guy could eat or whatever?
No, but I have a nice sweater I put on. My wife is 30 years my junior. She sees me put on the sweater and says, are you cold? I say, yeah, yeah. Samara will have to check my thyroid again. So, that is a common issue of aging.
Yeah.
Thyroid function tends to slowly but surely decline, and our body temperature drops, and our thermoregulation starts to go awry. We are become less and less good at vasodilating and warming up our skin by dilating the surface blood vessels. It could be physiologic. And I'd say, you know, there's some testing we'd probably want to do.
Yeah.
Checking the thyroid levels, checking the anabolic hormone loads. You know, part of the problem is you're aging, is you're losing muscle mass. And you actually start infiltrating the muscle with fat. And muscle generates heat. Muscle is a very energy-intensive tissue just by existing. It's burning calories and generating heat and keeping your body temperature up. And as we age and our anabolic hormone is declining and our growth hormones are declining, we tend to make less and less muscle. We generate less and less heat. We are more and more cold intolerant. You couple that with the normal decline in thyroid function with aging, and it's not unusual to find older people are quite chilly.
Yeah. Mm. Hence the older population in Florida and Arizona.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So if I might ask you, because of what you said, gave me some clues. I'm not a real gung-ho exercise guy. I sit around and I'm getting near 70, and so it's, I'm not an old spring chicken. Do you think if I incorporated, say, like walking each day or something like that? I used to do that a long time ago, but
it helps.
Do you think that would help?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. In fact, don't limit it to just walking.
Yeah.
Use your upper torso muscles too. You know, start doing some push-ups. Start doing some crunches. Start doing some deep knee bends. Go out and do some walking. You know, if you can, once you've been walking for a bit, do a little bit of jogging.
Yeah.
You know, even if you can only jog 20 steps and then walk until you're good, and then jog 20 more steps. Whatever you can do on any given day without pain is the right amount to do.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. I do use the VA a lot for doctors, and it gives me an indication what you're talking about, that I might have them check my thyroid if they would.
Yep. And check your testosterone, you're pregnant alone. Yeah, it's just a thyroid panel.
Okay.
Okay. Take care,
sir.
Thank
you very much. I really appreciate your information and your program.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Timothy. You can hear the music. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Here is the phone number to get through live in the studio. It's 888-312-5757. That number again in the studio live today, 888-312-5757. We'll be right back.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16. You're beautiful and you're mine. You're all ribbons and curls. Ooh, what a girl. Eyes that twinkle and shine. You're 16. You're beautiful and you're mine.
And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. My name is Lynette. We have the doctors in the house. The doctors in the house. In the studio live taking your questions today. 888-312-5757. And we are going to take a ferry, and we're going to head over to Bremerton.
We have Ron.
Yes, hey. We are. Ron is on the line. Good morning, Ron.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am an 84-year-old healthy male. All my blood panel tests have come right about in the middle of everything. However, two items concern me. One is a very high level of folic acid, and a very high level of vitamin B12. I don't make sense of what I've read. Do you have any suggestions?
What are your levels?
24 on the folic and about 800 on the vitamin B12.
Well, those aren't all that high. Okay. And what are your symptoms? What are we treating?
I don't have any. Okay. We're not treating anything.
So you feel fine.
As I said, they treat me for chest x-rays every year or so for possible pneumonias, and I do have an aortic aneurysm that hasn't changed in 3 years, so I'm on
good
limbo with that. And other than that, I take the L&M supplements regimen. And I'm pretty healthy.
So,
other than those two things.
So you're suggesting that the supplements are causing the high levels?
No, not at all. I don't believe that the supplements are. But that's the reason I'm asking. Is that
he's just been told that those levels are high.
Okay.
And wants to know what to do about it. But the question is, he's asymptomatic. He has no problems. A vitamin B12 of 800 is actually at the high end of the target range, not really pathological at all.
Correct.
You know, trying to remember what the high end of the folate is.
It was around 2 to 3, maybe 4 was high on the 0 to 3 mark. I first got it, they said, well, there's a decimal point error, so it should be 2.4. And I said, check it.
Oh.
They said, no, it's 24. So I don't know. Hmm. But if I'm normal and I'm not having any problems, I guess I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any pathological problems that come from those values.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes when when we do our micronutrient testing, we will find cellular levels of nutrients, and we use that as a better marker than just serum levels. However, serum levels will trigger our you know, deeper look, and we usually recommend supplements, so we want to know what we're recommending and why we're recommending it. Mm-hmm. But it's not uncommon to find the values change frequently. It depends upon what you've been eating lately, how good your absorption is. It is affected by any vitamin or supplement replacement also. However, vitamin B12s generally is water soluble, and all vitamin B, in fact, are water soluble, and a little excess in one reading does not cause any concern to me.
Nope.
I've never worried about that, and it usually, especially if the patients are asymptomatic, I don't do anything differently. But I do look for hidden sources of vitamin Bs. If you're not taking a supplement, then what other sources are there? Is there a drink that you're drinking, a vitamin drink, a supplement drink, a protein powder, some source that might be triggering that higher value? That's what I would do, just try to find out where is it coming from. But I won't necessarily change anything with the numbers that you're giving us.
Well, the 2021 vitamin B12 was around 700, 750. I didn't have a folic acid reading at that time. Well, it appears that I'm okay and normal then. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, for our clinic, we don't, you know, a value of 1,000 or more is not uncommon.
That's right.
In fact, people perform better at that level. And like I said, it's water soluble. It's expensive P, especially if you're on a supplement, but it's nothing that I have had cause for concern about. And as soon as patients stop taking the supplement, the levels fall back down again.
And an interesting relationship, and I can't tell you that it's causal, but it's an interesting relationship, is that people who run vitamin B levels in the bottom third of normal have more than twice as much dementia as people who run vitamin B12 levels in the top one third of normal.
Well,
I want to stay on the top third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still working, and I walk 5 days a week, about 7 miles every day, and I'm healthy, so I'll just keep doing what
Good.
I'm doing.
Yes.
I appreciate the comment.
You know, yeah, the other thing is with the vitamin B12, something that people don't think about a lot is what is homocysteine level. We measure homocysteine because it's a marker for vascular inflammation, and vitamin B12 lowers vascular inflammation and homocysteine levels. So we actually sometimes have our patients take excessive B12s in an effort to lower their homocysteine level. So we're measuring a lot of different things.
Thank you for your comments. I feel better already.
All right.
Oh,
take
good, Ron. Thank you for calling. We're going to take some more phone calls in just a minute. We have hour number two on the horizon at 888-312-5757. Again, our phone number to get through live in the studio today is 888-312-5757. Of course, Leading Edge Medicine is brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. And we love working with patients. In fact, Dr. Mixon started the clinic 24 years ago. Wow. 24 years ago, the radio
You're
show has been
aging
on.
Aging him now.
I know.
I won't say how long I've been working for him.
I don't think anything can age Dr. Mixon, which is why he loves to help other people age and get, you know, deal with the treatments of normal, but those undesired stages of aging.
I want them all to be.
Yeah.
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and
happier. Of course. And why wouldn't you want to be? We invite you to come in. We're still doing a free health analysis appointment. That's where you can come in, take a simple blood test and what we call an in-body test, which will let the doctors get some information, which will let them know if you're at risk for different things that can just be so damaging to your body and mind as you age. And we're all aging. Things like cancers, dementia, diabetes, sexual dysfunction, brain shrinkage, and so much more. Wouldn't you want to know? And once you're there, the health advocate will then explain what's going on with the results of that test and offer you a much larger test, right, Dr. Umat? What is this test?
The blood panel.
It's another blood panel, but it's big with so many things that they test for.
Yeah, and I know, in fact, many times in a week during the course of patient evaluations, many patients will say, you know, this aging thing is not for the faint of heart. And it really isn't. Things that you're totally unexpected will happen. And the goal is to try to ward them off and try to prevent them before they happen. Once you develop a diagnosis, it's really very difficult to reverse these things. But knowledge is power, and the purpose of the blood test is to give you an idea what your numbers are. And in today's day and age, everybody should know these numbers. It's not just your chronological age, but also what is your cholesterol value, what is your blood pressure, what is your heart rate, what is your sugar, what is your A1C, and the hormones. And it's not just one or two things. It's a whole panel of steroid pathway, which we are interested in because of function. These hormones are called sexual hormones, but they're not just responsible for sexual activity. They are not just reproductive hormones. They are actually neural hormones. They are originating in the brain. They're responsible for cognitive function. They're responsible for helping build muscle and bone, making you stronger and faster, and helping you burn fat and build muscle. And we all lose the ability to build muscle as we age. And so in order to maintain an adequate muscle mass, which then decreases the amount of fat you have, because muscle is basically going to keep your bony structure strong, is going to keep you erect, and you want to be erect and functional.
Yes.
Remember, one of the things that I've said many, many times is don't lose muscle as you get older. Muscle is the currency of aging.
Yes.
And so the higher the muscle mass, the better off you will be as you get older. Even if it indicates that your BMI is higher, make sure somebody knowledgeable and somebody who has data is looking at that with you. And so we give you all that information in your visit in the from the blood draw after the health advocate visit.
So important. Come in for that free health analysis appointment and get started with those two free tests. Here is the number to call and get on board at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or, of course, you can go to our website and get so much information. Boy, my mom loves reading information on websites about all of this information. And you can also hear our previous radio broadcast from several months back. So you can listen to Leading Edge Medicine radio shows on our website as well. That is lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. That's where you can go. And also, just sign up for the free health analysis appointment. Very simple. We'll be back with hour number two next. Stay close.